With us today on Robin Hood Radio, we have a couple of guests, and we will be talking about the Northwest Corner Prevention Network. Guest number one in the in this interview is Chelsea Kapitanichuk, who is the Prevention Facilitator and Project Coordinator of the network. Chelsea, welcome and thank you for joining us today.
Hi, Marshall. Thank you so much for having me.
And Julia Merchant has also joined us today. And Julia, what do you do with the Northwest Corner Prevention Network?
Hi, it's nice to be here. My role is actually to coordinate specific grant funds for the NCPN network. So we get grant funding from a few different places, and Chelsea coordinates the majority of it. And then I coordinate a grant fund under the name of Local Prevention Council, which comes down through the state of Connecticut.
All right. Now, Chelsea, we'll talk a little bit about the prevention network itself, what its basis is, what its mission statement is, and how long have you been around?
Sure. Yeah. So the NCPN has a really extensive history in the Northwest Corner. It was established in February of 2010. So a little over 10 years now, with the purpose of enhancing Northwest Connecticut's youth and families' ability to make informed, healthy decisions about risky behaviors and substance use prevention.
And what agencies do you work with to help in what your mission statement is? Do you work with other agencies in the Northwest Corner?
So I work at McCall Center for Behavioral Health. I'm based in Torrington. We also work with the Housatonic Youth Service Bureau. So Lynn Steinmeier, she is another paid staff for the coalition. She's housed at Housatonic Valley Youth Service Bureau. So she really kind of makes her mark in the Northwest Corner of getting to know different agencies and different providers that we can partner with, just kind of collaborating and really taking a grassroots approach to prevention, which is really cool.
Now, you're fairly new to our area, right, Chelsea?
I actually am a lifelong Torrington resident. So I've been, I've actually had two babies in Sharon Hospital. So I'm very connected to the area, but I just joined the position in February. So I'm new to the coalition work.
Was it a new position with the coalition or is this a position that you had established and help set up and set goals and ideas for?
So it's not a new position for the coalition. So every coalition, for the most part, has a coalition coordinator. We actually received funding from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention through their Drug-Free Communities grant. And that grant is a really nice, it's a five-year grant, $125,000 a year. And that grant is what funds my position. So Emma Hollis was in this position before. She's a really important part of the Northwest Corner. She works with the LPC to kind of help us with funding and all sorts of good stuff. So she was working in this position before, was really connected, and I'm just kind of taking over for her.
So basically, this is a group of volunteers. It's kind of like a huge umbrella that involves a lot of different people volunteering to push forward your goals.
Absolutely. It's kind of the approach of the whole is the sum of its parts. So we kind of take people from different community sectors, like the law enforcement sector, for example. You know, we just did Drug Take Back Day with the Troop B up in Canaan at their barracks. We took 46 pounds of unused medication back from the community, which, you know, helps to prevent people from accessing it and misusing the medication. So without their help, we wouldn't have been able to get that done with the coalition. And it extends to the education sector, faith-based sector, all different people from all different parts of the community kind of working together with that common goal of prevention.
And you also, I guess, do you also provide information and ways people can actually deal with the problems that we're facing in the community? You have educational programming, right?
We do, yes. So we're kind of working with the schools, and we're kind of working on figuring out what the best evidence-based programs will be going forward. But, you know, we focus on prevention, mental health, suicide prevention, all sorts of things that are really important for youth to kind of gain that education and understanding of.
Now Julia, does this take a ton of money? Is this something that you find hard to raise the money, or do you have a sustainable flow of donations and money to keep the programs going and add new programs as they're needed?
So what we've been able to do is to tap into what it ends up being sort of a year-over-year cycle of grants that come out through the state of Connecticut, and then they sort of trickle down into regional organizations called Regional Behavioral Health Action Organizations. And what we're able to do, that's where what we call the LPC funding comes from. LPC stands for Local Prevention Council. So each region gets this funding for each town in their region. So what we are able to do is we, NCPN is sort of it given in good faith the funding from each town under the Local Prevention Council grant. And then we are entrusted with that funding to provide prevention services, whether it be education, resources in these communities specifically.
You know, I'm taking a look at the partners that you work with, and for people, you know, that are listening, you work very closely with the Housatonic Youth Service Bureau, which you mentioned, the McCall yes. Center, of course, which you mentioned, Women's Support Services, Susan B. Anthony Project, Prevent Suicide Connecticut, a 211 helpline, the Canaan Family YMCA, Housatonic Valley Regional High School, the Western Connecticut Coalition. I mean, you really do I've left a couple out, which I actually should probably bring along. That's Western Connecticut Coalition, the high school, and the Trevor Project. So you really, both of you, Chelsea and Julia can mention, you cover just about every demographic in Northwest Connecticut.
Our goal is to reach as many sectors in the community as possible, for sure.
Now, are you preventative or are you response-based oriented, or is it a 50-50 proposition?
So we definitely try to be, proactive instead of reactive. Obviously, you know, working at McCall, we have available resources, for people who are struggling with addiction, but our focus is to kind of access the youth and try to kind of plant those seeds of making good decisions and trying to have those pro-social activities. So that way, they have a positive support network and have more of those protective factors and trying to eliminate those risk factors.
Do you have any outreach events coming up for the community that they can find out more about you by going to these different events?
So we are currently planning our summer. A lot of nice things happen when the weather is nicer. I would definitely recommend, if people are interested, check out our website, sign up for our email list. We always update different things that are going on within the community that we'll be at. You can always reach out to me. My email is chelseakapitancic@mccallcenterct.org. We try to have a monthly meeting. We do have a monthly meeting every third Wednesday of the month from 10:30 to 11:30 for those who are able to join us in the planning efforts. And if anybody knows about any community events that are coming up that we can be a part of, we would love to hear about it.
So, yeah, historically, we put on several community events throughout the summer. Wasn't last year, because I'm having trouble remembering because of the coronavirus epidemic getting in the way of everything. But previously, we've done some partnering with the town summer concert series, where we'll hold tables there. We've held a ice cream social at the concert series in the past. And currently, we actually have a contest for students that they can submit public service announcements for anti-vaping campaign. So we're looking for submissions, again, for public service announcements from the students of Region 1. Both the public school and private schools are welcome to submit, students are welcome to submit their projects. And we're hoping to get some submissions and be able to work those PSAs into our marketing.
Yeah, you mentioned COVID-19. During the past 2 years, did it affect the way that you do what you want to do? And also, did you see an uptick in your need during the past 2 years with people being so estranged from one another?
It's been definitely a difficult road over the last couple of years working in community volunteer and community outreach is not an easy thing when the community shuts down for 3 months, you know, which was necessary at that time. But we've really had a lot of success working through, you know, online platforms like Zoom to get trainings out there, to continue meeting with our monthly coalition member meetings, and to make sure that we are not leaving people high and dry, and still doing the work that is so needed, especially now, of connecting people.
Now, people can find out more information on your website, ncpncoalition.org. Do you also have sites on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and things like that?
We do. We have a new Facebook that we just started up. So if people search for Northwest Connecticut Prevention Network on Facebook, they will find us, Northwest Corner Prevention Network, sorry. But they'll be able to find us on Facebook, which we just started up recently.
Now, I also see that on the third Wednesday of every month, you have a get-together from 10:30 to 11:30 on Zoom. How do people find that? Do they contact you and get the link, or do you send the links out and the information out for that?
Yeah, so we have an email list. If you go to the website, at the top of the page, there's an option to provide your email address and sign up for our email list. And from there, we send the Zoom link out to those who are interested in joining.
And if people want to call, what's your telephone number to call and find out more information?
So you can call me at 860-480-8213.
You know, it's interesting. We're now 2 years in this pandemic, and coming out of it, even though it's not, COVID is not going away, it's becoming more of an endemic. Mm-hmm. Are you both kind of happy that people are starting to once again get out and communicate and be with one another? Do you think that helps the psyche of all the problems that you have to face under your big umbrella?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, peer support is a really big thing for anyone, but especially for youth. So, you know, when the schools were kind of going virtual and there wasn't that face-to-face interaction, it definitely impacted mental health amongst youth. But you know, that's a really important protective factor, as we know, to have that peer support network. So we're definitely encouraged by it.
Yeah, and we are also really lucky in the Northwest Corner to have such a strong network working in social services and in this volunteer capacity. All of the partners that you mentioned earlier, nobody sort of stood on the sidelines during the height of the coronavirus pandemic. Everybody sort of jumped in with both feet to make sure that this work would continue, even despite the fact that the communities were sort of siloed for a while.
Well, Chelsea and Julia, thank you for joining us today. Once again, the Northwest Corner Prevention Network on the web, ncpncoalition.org. You'll find them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And the old-fashioned way at 860-480-8213. Keep us updated about what's going on over the course of the months here, because we live in a remote area, but I'm 69, and I can tell you right now, it doesn't matter whether you're a senior citizen or you're an elementary school student, whether you're a parent, a grandparent, a parent-to-be, the services that are provided to people out here that a lot of people don't know about are extremely important in the vital health of the community as a whole.
Yes. Absolutely. It definitely takes a village. Many hands make light work, for sure.
Absolutely.
You can reach our get more information about the PSA contest if anyone's interested in submitting to it. There's more information on our Facebook about that. We do have scholarship prizes available, so we're hoping to get a good amount of submissions and some creativity going.
All right. Well, once again, thanks for joining us today on Robinhood Radio. And like I said, please keep us updated about what goes on.
You've got it, Marshall. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Marshall.